Welcome to the Truth Wars Podcast with Dr. Olin Stubbs. If this podcast has encouraged you in any way, we'd like to ask you to leave a review for Truth Wars on whichever platform you listen on. Now, here's Olin.
Okay, guys, if y'all have a Bible, open up to Psalm chapter 1, and this is going to be short and hopefully sweet. All right, Psalm chapter 1, and while you're turning there, let me pray briefly. Father, I do pray that you would help all of us be physically awake and alert, but also in our spirits, that we would be in tune, we would be focused, we would direct our mind so that we could make the most of this time. Would you be growing us up, making us into the men and women that you want us to be? Pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Really, what we're going to talk about this morning, super briefly, is how to grow spiritually, how to continue to grow. And we, in a sense, talked about that in the last session. You keep repenting of sin in your life. Okay, we're really just going to have 2 points here about how you keep moving forward from Psalm 1. Really 3 points, but the first two are the ones we're going to focus on the most. Put off, put on, and then put out. Or maybe it's better to say output, and I'll explain what that means when we get there. Okay, but just by way of introduction, Psalms starts out like this. Psalm 1, the first phrase, how blessed is the man. Now, when we hear the word blessed, we don't use that word very much in modern-day English. We might a little bit, but here's the bottom line, what it means in Hebrew. It really means happy, and not kind of a silly, simple, shallow type of happiness, but more of the deep happiness of the soul, satisfaction, fulfillment. So that's what we all want, right? I mean, whether you're a Christian or not, we all want to be happy. We want to be fulfilled. And it says, here's how you be fulfilled. So verse 1, and this is put off. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. So essentially what he's saying here is put off bad friendships. I mean, when I shared my testimony last night, I said there were a lot of bad things that I was doing, but the baddest thing, so to speak, that I was committed to wasn't one of those individual sins. It was more the friends that I was hanging out with. I'm reading a book right now called Live No Lies. I'll probably quote from it a couple of times this morning. But he has a line in there where he says, I want you to think about the last time you did something bad. And I'm not meaning just like a sinful thought that went through your mind. You actually did something sinful. You were probably either all by yourself, or you were probably with somebody that was a bad influence on you, right? It's probably not when you were hanging out with other Christians that are great influences on you. That's not when we tend to do big, bad sins. We tend to do big, bad sins when we're by ourselves or when we're around people that have a sinful influence on us. And so there's this progression in verse 1. You're not supposed to walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, there's one sense in which this is just saying the same thing in 3 different ways to emphasize it. I used to have a football coach in high school say, if you lie down with dogs, you're going to get up in fleas, with fleas. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, bad company corrupts good morals. Even if you have good morals, if you hang out with people all the time with bad morals, they'll drag you down. But there's also a progression here. Did you see? At first, it's like I'm walking, then I'm standing, then I'm sitting. Let me just give you 2 examples of what this might look like, right? I'm going to go to the party, but I'm not going to drink. I'm going to just go hang out with some of those guys and my friends. Next time, I'm going to go to the party. I'll drink a little bit, but I won't get drunk. And the next time, it's like, yeah, I'm at the party, and I'm hammered out of my gourd. There's a progression. We ease ourselves into it. Yeah, I'm watching Netflix, probably too much, but I'm not watching anything scandalous. Okay, I have started watching this show that's showing a lot of skin, but it's not technically porn. Of course I'm watching porn. Everybody's doing it. There's a progression. When you let yourself get away with little sins, it often leads to bigger sins. And a lot of that comes through the people that we hang out with and that we let influence us. Okay, so the first thing, you got to put off sin, but specifically put off bad relationships. The second thing, put on. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This may be the most important thing I'm going to say this morning is this. God created every single human being to have joy, to have delight. It is impossible to live without joy. It's like the engine of our soul. So the question is not, do you have delight in something, yes or no? The question is, where are you finding delight? Nature hates a vacuum. There's a little short, weird parable that Jesus tells in the New Testament. And he basically says there's a woman that's possessed by a demon. I told you it was weird. And the demon gets kicked out. And the woman, in a sense, gets her heart in order. She gets it cleaned out of the bad stuff, but she doesn't replace it with any good stuff. And you know what Jesus says happens? The demon comes back and brings 7 of his friends. Now, what does that mean? It means this. If you just work on getting the bad stuff out of your life, but you don't focus on positively putting the good stuff into your life, you'll eventually go back to the bad stuff and probably in a worse way. You have to be delighting in God. And specifically, what does it look like to delight in God? It means primarily to delight in His Word. To read His Word, to study His Word, to think about His Word, to sing His Word, to pray His Word. Literally to meditate. I think we're going to have a quote up here on what it means to meditate by this great old Bible teacher guy named Matthew Henry. To meditate in God's Word is to discourse with ourselves, which means to discuss. It's like you're having a mental conversation. To discourse with ourselves concerning the great things contained in it with a close application of mind, a fixedness of thought, till we be suitably affected with those things and experience the savor and power of them in our hearts. Have any of you ever been studying for a test maybe, and you read like a whole page of your textbook, but for whatever reason you're distracted, maybe you're tired because you stayed up all last night or something, and you get to the end of the page and you realize, I don't remember what I read. I just read the whole page and I remember nothing. Has that ever happened to anybody? Have you ever gone back and said, I got to read the page again? You read it the second time and you get to the end and you're like, oh crap, I just did it again. I still literally don't remember it. Understand? Part of what it means to meditate is to read deeply, to slow down, to think about it. How does this apply to me? To intentionally focus your brain. And not just your brain, but your heart, so that you start to savor it. It's like eating. It's like spiritual food. It's like a spiritual apple. It's like it tastes good. It's sweet. I enjoy it. I like it. I want to roll it around on the taste buds of my heart. That's what it means to meditate. Now, some of you are saying, I hear you, I'm following you, but here's the problem, Owen. I don't delight in the Word of God. I do delight in sin. I do delight in just neutral stuff, like kind of, you know, 6 hours of Netflix every day. I don't delight in the Word of God. Here's a principle that's helped me a ton in life, and I think it'll help you. If you will start in duty and persevere, you will end in delight. Think about it in the physical realm. I had a season in my life like this, and I bet some of you had, where you start to realize I'm out of shape, I'm overweight, I'm not as strong as I want to be, I don't look as good as I can, I can't run as fast as I want to. And so you say, I got to start working out more, and I got to start eating more healthy. Let's just focus on the eating part. Okay, let's just hypothetically say that you had a diet that was primarily about fried chicken and donuts and Oreos. And you're like, this is not going to go well for me. I'm not going to make the team when I try out because I'm so out of shape, I can't run. And I look terrible. Swimsuit season is coming up, right? So I got to change my diet. So no more fried chicken, only grilled chicken. Okay? No more Oreos, I'll eat apples. Okay? No more donuts, I'll wake up and I'll eat, you know, egg whites or something. At first, you're probably not going to like that diet, right? You're going to be like, grilled chicken doesn't taste as good as fried chicken. Egg whites don't taste as good as donuts. But if you will persevere in doing it long enough, some of you have had this experience, I know how I have. You know what, now I actually like the way grilled chicken tastes better than I like fried chicken. My taste buds have changed. I don't like broccoli more than I like french fries, right? I'm not all the way finished. But it's like literally from persevering and doing the right thing by duty, my desire started to change. Why am I going off? I'm not trying to give you diet advice. I'm trying to say this. If you will persevere in doing the right thing spiritually, in the long run, your desires will start to change. You'll get sick of the shallow stuff that you're feeding your soul right now, and you'll fall in love with the Word of God. The most recent research from Barna says that the average millennial spends 2,800 hours a year consuming digital content. But if you're a Christian, only 153 hours, that's a very small percentage of that, is something that's Christ-based. That doesn't mean the other 2,600 whatever is necessarily all sinful, but a lot of it's just nothingness. It's just shallowness. It's like Skittles for your soul. Part of what it means to grow is to say, I'm going to intentionally direct my attention onto the Word of God and then pray, oh God, make my heart start to love your Word. Now, if you do this, if you persevere in this, look at what it says will happen in verse 3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Now, this is not prosperity gospel that says if you become a Christian and you get serious about it, you'll get a new Ferrari tomorrow. It's talking about spiritually prospering, spiritual character fruit, joy, blessing in the deepest things and the most important things in life.
I mean, God is so gracious. He's trying to give us these promises to say, if you'll obey me, if you'll follow me, if you'll put off the bad relationships, if you'll delight in my word, if you'll persevere, I'll bless you, I promise. Now, application. Put off the bad friendships and spend more time delighting in the word of God. That's kind of the broad application. Now, let me make a really specific application for you sitting here at this retreat. Please seriously consider going to Summer Project with Campus Outreach. Is it God's will for everybody's life sitting in this room? Probably not. But it's probably God's will for a lot of you. Because listen, there's a lot of great things about Orlando Project. Okay? You get a job, you make money, you're in Florida, it's cool, you have a lot of fun. But here's maybe the two best things. For about 8 weeks, you will be away from almost all your sinful friends. It's a very practical way to say, for 8 weeks, I'm going to put off these bad relationships and get away, have some space to grow. And then for about 8 weeks, you're going to get more Bible than you've probably had in your whole life. Your own personal reading, teaching, small group, discussion. You're going to get immersed in the Scripture. It's going to be a super practical way for you to obey Psalm 1. So I plead with you to at least prayerfully consider a practical application for you to obey Psalm 1. Go to Orlando Project. Now, last thought. I'm just going to read these last few verses very quickly. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And in a sense, what is God doing here? It's like His last ditch effort to motivate us. He's saying, again, what we've been saying all weekend. If you ultimately refuse to delight yourself in God and His Word, and rather say, no, I'm going to delight myself in sin and these sinful friendships. If you persevere in that kind of lifestyle, it eventually leads to hell, being blown away by the wrath of God. Whereas if you say, I'm going to faithfully but not perfectly put off the sinful relationships, delight myself in the Word of God, it'll lead to fruitfulness in this life and in the next. Blessing. And once again, guys, this is heavy because you don't have to think deeply to know there really has only ever been one man who perfectly obeyed this passage. One man that perfectly fulfilled this passage. One man that resisted all temptation to sin and was always constantly delighting in the Word of God. And when he got to the end of his life, we said this last night, it's true, he was the one true tree, and yet he got put out of the presence of God on the cross. He didn't deserve it. He got put out as a substitute for all those people that would trust in him. So that now when we trust in him, we can stand with him before the presence of his Father because of what Christ has done for us. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, hear our prayers. If there are people in this room that don't need to go to Orlando Project, I pray they would feel total freedom. But they would find other ways, practical ways, to put out of their lives sinful relationships and to go deeper in delighting in your word. And God, if there are people in this room that do need to go to the Summer Project, I just pray you would convince them, you would convict them, you would draw them to yourself into that decision. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Truth Wars with Dr. Olin Stubbs. If you have any questions for Olin, please email him at olin.stubbs@campusoutreach.org.